The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today is Thursday of the sixth week of Easter. This is Father Stephen Reynolds of St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Houston, Texas. There are several instances in the Acts of the Apostles in which we're told of entire households being received into the church. One of these is recounted in the first reading of the Mass from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 18. But before reflecting on that scene, we ought to recall that today, Thursday, is the traditional date for the celebration of the Ascension of the Lord. Some years ago, and I think it's been 30 years at least, the bishops of this country asked for permission to transfer the celebration of this feast day to the following Sunday. And so we will commemorate the mystery of the Lord's Ascension this coming Sunday. However, it's good that we remember that this is the traditional date, and that we mark the time between now and Pentecost, a couple Sundays away, as a time of spiritual anticipation for the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the visit of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church and upon each one of us. Well, let's return to this reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Clearly, Paul is frustrated that his preaching of the word is meeting with such resistance, especially among many of his own people, who often react violently to his evangelizing efforts. And from a human point of view, we can understand that reaction, and yet we see what a great treasure they're missing. But Paul is not daunted, and he's not intimidated, and he begins to reach out in a more intense way to the Gentiles, to bring the hope of salvation to them as well. And in the midst of doing so, we're told that Crispus, this is a quote, the synagogue official, came to believe in the Lord, along with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians who heard believed and were baptized. So even though, this is significant because it shows that even though many of the chosen people turned away from the gospel, many were still open to it. So Paul doesn't give up on anyone, and the Holy Spirit doesn't give up on anyone. He's always encouraging and animating all those and anyone who is open in sincerity of heart to the truth of the gospel. But secondly, this passage is significant because it gives us an insight into how the sacrament of baptism was administered in apostolic times. We are told that the entire household of Crispus was baptized. This would have included the adults, adolescents, children, infants, maybe even servants, maybe even extended family. They were all baptized. Certainly this is an acknowledgement in apostolic times, of course, of the divine mandate given at the Ascension to baptize the nations. That salvation comes through baptism. And it's through the sacrament that the Lord extends his life to the human race. And this life is not to be excluded from infants. Now, while it is true that in the early centuries of Christianity, the common practice was to baptize adults, this was due simply to the fact that the vast majority of the converts to the faith were already adults. They were not born into Christian families. And when they were baptized, well, as the Acts of the Apostles makes it clear, it was natural that their whole families be baptized with them. And as the number of Christian families grew and it became more common to be born into a Christian family, it was logical and fitting that newborns would be baptized as soon as possible, and so that now the most common form of baptism is, of course, to infants, something which we should never delay, especially for merely social reasons. Sometimes a family will delay baptism for years in order to maximize the number of family members who are present. You know, it's natural to want baptism to be a family event, but to delay baptism unnecessarily could reflect a lack of understanding about the sacrament, about its necessity, and a lack of appreciation for the gift of God's grace. I always advise families to baptize their newborns as soon as possible, within a couple of weeks at the longest. And if some family members cannot be there, perhaps they can come for the first birthday or some other event. There'd be time enough for that. But we want to make sure that all of our children can receive this gift of divine grace that comes with the sacrament of baptism at the earliest possible moment. And we want ourselves to be renewed in our understanding of our baptism so that it will always give us life. God bless you.